Airbus switches pilots.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Troubles at Airbus have led to a change at the top. Louis Gallois took over as CEO late Monday. Christian Streiff is out after just 100 days as head of the company. Gallois is already predicting painful job cuts, mainly at the management level. The struggles of Airbus are not too different from the problems Boeing faced recently. Jason Parr reports from Seattle.
With its new flagship Super Jumbo airliner delayed another year, the resignation of Airbus's CEO wasn't a huge surprise. But it was just a few years ago that Airbus overtook a struggling Boeing in new plane orders for the first time. Aviation analyst Scott Hamilton says tough times for Boeing in the mid-1990s forced the company to make many tough decisions. Those changes helped Boeing to lead Airbus in sales this year. Hamilton says Boeing sold off less valuable assets and streamlined its workforce, sending jobs around the world to be more competitive.
Boeing has outsourced. Airbus has largely kept its sourcing within Europe. This is an opportunity to begin outsourcing to less expensive suppliers. So Airbus really has the opportunity to do now or to begin now what Boeing began after the 1997 production fiascos.
Hamilton believes Airbus will continue to be hindered by the A380 Super Jumbo for several more years, but he says the plane maker could emerge with new models and the next generation of airliners to take on Boeing if restructuring is successful. In Seattle, I'm Jason Parr from Marketplace.
Today, the third quarter earnings season begins in earnest. Bullish corporate profits are expected to continue for the most part, but some analysts are watching to see what happens, what impact fuel prices and the housing market will have on earnings. Nancy Marshall-Ginzer reports.
The earnings reports are going to trickle out over the next couple of weeks. We'll be hearing from some heavy hitters this week, General Electric and publisher Gannett. But the stars this quarter are the energy, housing, tech, and retail sectors. Chris Lowe, chief economist of FTN Financial, is focused on the effect of tanking gas prices.
That $20 that you're not putting into the SUV's gas tank can be spent on other retail goods.
Retailers may be painting a rosy picture, but Hugh Johnson of Johnson Illington Advisors expects some nasty surprises.
Got a few big companies, some of them are technology companies, whose earnings I think might come in below expectations. There's a couple of sour apples out there, I believe.
But Johnson isn't predicting an upset of the apple cart. He's expecting earnings overall to grow a respectable 12%. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The price of oil rose a little higher today. OPEC is reportedly working out the details of an expected cut in production of 1 million barrels per day. Heightened tensions over North Korea also impacting prices. U.S. crude rose 57 cents to $60.53 a barrel. Despite North Korea's announcement, the markets were up yesterday, especially the Dow. The Dow rose 7 points to 11,857, just shy of its recent record. The Nasdaq was up 11 points at 2311, and the S&P edged up a point at 1350. And this is Marketplace. Carly Fiorina hits the bookstores today. Her memoir, Tough Choices, chronicles her time as CEO of Hewlett-Packard. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
After the Enron and WorldCom meltdowns, Congress enacted the Sarbanes-Oxley reforms. They were meant to swing more oversight responsibility to company boards. Securities lawyer Lance Kimmel says this came to a head around the time Carly Fiorina was ousted.
Sarbanes-Oxley may have allowed certain board members to feel more emboldened that they were a little bit safer in speaking up because it was going to be difficult in a Sarbanes-Oxley environment for there to be retribution.
Kimmel says Sarbanes-Oxley has mainly helped businesses be more functional. But ironically, at HP, with its long-term struggle of personalities, the slight shift could have accelerated the scandal. Kimmel expects Fiorina's book will add more details to a story that will likely take a long time to tell. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with four top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas.
All around America, men and women worry about their jobs.
Iraq, healthcare,
energy and education.
What you want?
The Real Agenda is our series on pocketbook issues that could influence this year's midterm elections. Polls show a lot of Americans are interested in health care, but what about a dental plan? Nearly half of all Americans don't have one. Dental hygiene affects our ability to eat and work. It's also linked to illnesses like cardiovascular disease. In the next few weeks, we'll air perspectives from average Americans on The Real Agenda. Here's bookstore clerk Moira Mannion.
A year ago, the entire left side of my face constantly throbbed with excruciating pain. No over-the-counter medication gave me relief. I never slept for more than 3 hours. I knew that two upper back molars were abscessed, but I went to my two jobs 6 days a week. I didn't have a choice. Customers told me to smile. I brusquely informed them that smiling hurt. In one exchange, a customer said, "Get your teeth fixed then." I said, "If you pay for it." He said he complained to my manager. I wanted to tell him that I was beyond caring about his pathetic ego and blatant ignorance. Obviously, he believed that paying a dentist is simply a matter of will. I did have a choice. I could keep my meager savings or have my teeth pulled. Standing in the oral surgeon's waiting room, involuntary tears running down my cheeks, I paid my entire savings and had two teeth yanked. 3 weeks later, another molar on the right side became abscessed. I borrowed money from a friend who's as poor as I am to get that pulled. It may surprise you that I have dental insurance. The premium costs me $50 a month. But on top of that, the copay of $75 per tooth was almost more than a person earning minimum wage can afford. And the first oral surgeon I saw demanded that I pay him more than the copay before he would operate. Evidently, he wasn't sure how much the insurance would cover. I suspect he did that a lot, judging by the pamphlets at reception titled, "Why Doesn't My Insurance Cover More?" What if I had been one of the 100 million people without insurance? Would I have had to get a credit card? I'd just spent 5 years paying off two cards I'd gotten to pay my back rent. I swore I'd never get another one. There are sliding-scale dental clinics, but they have waiting lists. Do emergency rooms do extractions? God knows what that would cost. When I hear companies complain about the cost of insuring their workers, I want to ask, what is the cost of workers who are sleep-deprived, in pain, and in fear? How productive are people when taking a breath makes them dizzy with agony? And how loyal are workers when their illness is seen as an inconvenience or an excuse?
That was bookstore clerk Moira Mannion, and in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
What happens to a small town when a mining...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.